Thank the Lord for that prayer. Continue to pray for me as I stand before you tonight. If you have your Bibles and like to read with me, I'd like to read a passage of Scripture that's been on my mind today, continues to be there, and so we'll follow where we feel led tonight and just pray that the Lord's in the matter and that we will continue to do that as we stand before you, leaning upon the Lord and trusting in Him to give us the things that we stand in need of sharing with you tonight. I always find great comfort in knowing the Lord knows all that we stand in need of, not only tonight, but all that's coming in the future. And He's able to provide for us if we simply look to Him and cast our cares upon Him, for He cares for us, and lean upon Him and trust not in our own, lean not upon our own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all our heart, that He'll supply just what we need tonight if we go together to the Lord and ask Him and seek Him and call upon Him and knock, and He'll open unto us the things that we need to know that are found in the Word of God. We know as long as we live here in this world that this Bible that we have before us is a thorough furnisher. It furnishes us truly. And so we have a sufficient amount given to us in the Word of God. If the Spirit of God will bless us to open up the Scripture and bless us to read it and understand it and rightly divide it, then we'll have the instruction that you and I need in this old world, even though we're in a world that's full of trouble and cares and concerns. We can cast, as we've already said, our cares upon the Lord, for He does care for us. But if you'd like to read with me, I'm going to read to you from the first chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians, which has been pretty much on my mind all day. Made an effort to speak over at Mount Carmel from a portion of this, and probably will cover a portion of that again if I feel so led. I don't think it will hurt us to hear the things that are found in God's Word more than one time in a day. And as a matter of fact, if all the preachers had come today and preached on the same text, if the Lord was in the matter, there would still be a lot more that could be said about any portion of God's Word, even the most familiar portions. And I'm thankful that that's the wonderful God that we serve. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. That means we'll have more to talk about when we talk about all the things we've got tonight that could be found in this chapter than we'll ever get covered. And I believe that's in a lifetime of preaching, not only just tonight, but in a lifetime of study. And that's the depth of God's Word. It's not like any other book. You know, the other books you can cover, and once you've covered it, you can check that box. I've got that out of the way. This book continues to have a depth that we haven't yet seen, continues to have a breadth we haven't yet seen, and though we see a little part of it, there's still so much more to know. As we sang tonight, the half has not been told of all the things that could be told about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But this first chapter, we'll read it in your hearing. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves shew of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. The gospel that the Apostle Paul preached was the same at Thessalonica as it was at Corinth, as it was at Philippi, as it was wherever he went. He did not change his message based on the people that he was talking to. He preached Jesus Christ and him crucified. The gospel was about his death and his burial and his resurrection. How that Christ died for our sins and how he rose again according to the scriptures. This gospel, he said, he preached, and Silvanus, Silas preached, and Timotheus preached, and they declared this. What they were declaring, as he wrote here, was they were in agreement about that. And it's wonderful to know that the Apostle Paul agreed with the other apostles. And somebody might say, well, he agreed with them because they taught him. But that's not true. The Apostle Paul was taught of the Lord. That which he had was given to him directly from the Lord. And what Peter and James and John and all the other apostles had was given unto them directly of the Lord. And so we know that the Lord first taught the gospel and gave us the gospel, and he gave it unto the apostles, and then the apostles gave it unto faithful men who indeed teach others also. Tonight, we don't want to be preaching any other gospel. We don't want to come with anything else but that which is laid down in God's Word. What's wonderful about the preaching and the teaching of the apostles is not only did they go out speaking that, but God moved them to write and to pin these things down. And when they taught these things, there were signs that followed them confirming that what they said was so. The Holy Spirit followed them with miraculous signs. Those miraculous signs were given in the early church until the completion of the Word of God, until we had the Bible in print. Tonight, we don't look for signs from men in order to know that's the truth of what they're saying. We want to try what they say by the Word of God. We want to search the Scriptures so that when men stand before us and preach the gospel, we want to be sure they're standing on the same ground and teaching the same thing that the apostles taught, that was taught by the Apostle Paul and by Silas and by Timothy and by all of the ministers of the gospels down through the years. We want to be sure that we're following the truth. That's why, as we said earlier today, we want to be sure we're preaching the Word. This is not a place for us to come to share our speculations or our opinions or our thoughts about things. It's not a place to come to bring just anything about what's going on in the world or sharing that from the pulpit. We can share things about what's going on in the world when they line up against or contrary to the Word of God, or we see something that relates to the Word of God, but the subject matter. So many people stand in pulpits today and everything is the subject of what they're talking about except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Everything else is talked about, but so little is talked about Jesus and Him crucified. I hope that's never true in our old Baptist churches. I hope we are standing firm upon the solid ground of preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are very aware and have talked about this before, but over in 1 Corinthians 15, we read just a real quick synopsis of what the gospel is given by the Apostle Paul. And that's what he preached at Corinth, and I believe it was also what he preached at Thessalonica and at Philippi. And it's the gospel that the Lord had given him. He says in that first verse of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." So tonight we want to remember what the gospel is. That's why we want to hear that gospel again, so that we do not get to the place where we forget about those things and leave that truth
and follow and to fall into the errors of the world and the errors of others that may be standing and declaring something that's contrary to the truth. Now he lays out very clearly what the gospel is. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all." Now I believe that means the most important thing he had to say. The most important thing I have to say tonight is the gospel. And that gospel is what Jesus did. He said, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received." And he received it directly from God. Verse 3 says, "How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture." So our sins were placed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ bore those sins at Calvary and paid that sin debt for us. Our sins being the sins of all of God's elect children that are out of every nation and kindred and tongue and people. The beloved, the elect of God, he bore our sins and he did that according to the Scriptures, which means the Scriptures testified of what he would do. And we read about that in Genesis 3. We read about it in Psalm 22. We read about it in Isaiah 53. We read about what Jesus came to do in saving his people from their sins. And according to the Scriptures, Jesus came and fulfilled that which the Father sent him to do and dying at Calvary and paying the sin debt. And he went to the grave. He was buried. That he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then there were many eyewitnesses that saw him and walked with him. And the last one of them, he said and last of all, he said in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 15, he says, "Of all he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." And so the disciples had walked with him, and yet they saw him after the resurrection. And we have a resurrected Savior. That's part of the gospel. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that that accomplished. And the Apostle Paul says, "And then he appeared to me also." Jesus came and called him directly. And then he received the gospel from him. That which he received, he also gave unto them. And that is that same gospel that I believe we're standing before you tonight and making an effort to talk about. And he said in this letter, he says, Paul, back to Thessalonians chapter 1, he says, "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians," that is the city of Thessalonica, and it was called the church of the Thessalonians. And notice, as we said earlier today, it is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So this church wasn't the building of man. It's not a man-made institution. Men didn't design it. Men didn't plan it. We don't have the right to change it. God has given it to us. He's laid out in His Word how we're supposed to operate in the church, what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to behave. He gave us the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper and showed us how we're to carry those things out. And the brethren in the past wanted to be sure whenever they came before God's people that they were sharing with them what the Lord had first given and that we didn't change from that. And tonight we're not looking to get upgraded, renewed, get modernized or anything else to appeal to man or anyone else. We simply want to preach the truth and preach it as the Lord has given it to us. And that's what God's little children ought to be desiring and looking for. I don't think tonight you want to hear my opinion. I don't think you're really that. I mean, I'm not saying that in any rude or unkind way. But when a man comes before us, whether it be me or any other minister, our desire is that they preach the Word. That they're coming to us with a "Thus saith the Lord." That they do it in such a way that we, when we finish, can go home and look in our Bibles and search the Scriptures to see if the things that they taught us were so. If they're talking about things that are not in the Bible, that will not be beneficial to us. As a matter of fact, that's what causes so much trouble among God's people. Is when we start bringing things out that are the opinions and the ideas of men. And it's so easy for that to happen. Because we've got flesh that comes with us into the pulpit, and all we have to do is just slip a little bit out of the Word and into the flesh. And the next thing you know, we've confused and caused some of God's little children to become offended or grieved over things. Now, if the Word offends, it must offend. If the Word gets everybody upset and nobody comes back and they leave, we ought to be faithful to preach the Word if nobody will listen to us if it's the truth. But I said to you, if we're preaching the truth, God will bless someone with an ear to hear it and an eye to see it and a heart to understand it, just like He did these brethren at Thessalonica. We believe that today, don't we? That God has a people, that He's given them an ear to hear the truth, and He's given them an eye to see the truth and a heart to understand the truth. And He did that in the new birth. And in that work of grace that's happened in their heart, they have the laws written upon their heart and upon their mind. They don't need anybody to teach them to know their Lord, for they all know Him, will know Him from the least to the greatest. But they do need instruction about what the Lord has done and how He has done it. And they need it from the Bible. They don't need it from man's opinion. And we certainly shouldn't raise our finger into the wind and see which way it's blowing before we begin to present the truth. What we should do is get down on our knees, though, before God and beg Him that we would present the truth in a way and manner that God's little lambs and God's little sheep might be able to feed on it. Even if it's just six or seven that's gathered on a Saturday night, I pray that the Lord will bless us, that we would grow. I believe I've got some growing to do. I believe I've been among the old Baptists for 40 plus years now. And I remember when I used to hear the older brethren say that, I said, well, you know, that's a long time. Well, it doesn't seem so long anymore. I mean, it seemed like it was just a short time. But it has been it's been a long time. But I have so much more to know and so much more that I need to grow in. And I have so much more to learn. And when I'm really where I pray that I want to be and stay, then I'm just as hungry and just as amazing grace sounds just as good as the first time I ever sang it. Maybe better. And I pray that that'll continue to be the case. And when I grow cold and it doesn't seem to be as much, you know, it's so easy for us to get conformed, isn't it? Conformed to this world. I don't want to be conformed to this world. That means to be formed with the world. That's what it means. We want to be transformed, not conformed. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means I need my mind renewed tonight. I need the Word of God to teach me and instruct me. And I need to hear the things that I've received and things that I stand, but I need to hear them again, that I might keep them in remembrance, that I might stir them up, that it may stay in the forefront of my mind, so that as I'm walking through life, I won't go down the road, forget that the Lord's right there with me. He's with you all the time. He's not a God that's far away. He's not, you know, that was a very popular song that was sung. That wasn't the truth when they sang it. It says He's watching. Well, it is the truth in part. He says He's watching me from a distance. From a distance. Well, yeah, He's watching you from a distance, but He's also watching you up close. I mean, He's a very present help. And here you read what He says about Him. He says that this church was in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. If this little church was built the way that it was supposed to build, the way we believe that it was built, it's the planning of the Lord. He put it in this community for us. And I don't believe you and I just hop along, fell into it. I believe He led us in a way we did not know. And I believe He individually, providentially, in our lives, each one of us led us in different ways. Sitting here around, looking at the congregation tonight, I got a lot of memories about the different ways He's led you along life's path. And led me, led us together. Led us to have sweet fellowship together. Led us to share many good meetings together. Led us to hear the gospel together, to be happy in the Lord together, to sit around the table and talk about the goodness of the Lord together, to sing hymns that honored and praised God, to give us so many blessings that we would have never even thought about or be concerned about or even would have desired or wanted. And yet the Lord has been, as the hymn writer said, the Lord has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. He said that this church is in God the Father. I believe God the Father chose His people before the foundation of the world. I believe He knew them. I believe He gave them to His Son in covenant in the Lord Jesus Christ. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. That's the Bible. That's what Ephesians 1 says. We didn't choose to get into Christ. He chose us. And He chose us in Him and worked His... And then the Holy Spirit comes and quickens us and makes us alive. We are the product of a triune God. The work of God the Father in electing us. The work of God the Son in redeeming us. The work of the Holy Spirit in giving us life. We who were dead in sins have been made alive in Christ. And because of that, we have an eye and an ear and a heart to understand, see, and know the gospel. And the gospel can be of great and will be of great benefit to us. He says, and here's the message of the gospel. Again, in a nutshell, it's about Jesus dying. That's what grace is. Jesus died for us. That's grace. Jesus was buried for us. That's grace. And Jesus rose again. That's grace. So that one day we'll be with Him in heaven. And nothing's going to change that. That's a wonderful, wonderful sound. That we want to say over and over. Every gospel message ought to include that. If you go to church and you don't hear about Jesus' death and His burial and His resurrection and what that accomplished, then the gospel has not been declared. And whether the text is from Genesis or whether the text is from Isaiah or whether the text is from Matthew or from Revelation, if we come away without that, then we haven't preached the gospel that Paul said Silvanus and Timotheus and Apollos and the apostles all preached, and that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He said, I would have you know nothing save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That doesn't mean we don't cover a lot of things. We may talk about the second coming of the Lord. We may talk about the redemption of the body. We may talk about the resurrection of the body. We may talk about different events that occurred in the Scripture from the Old Testament to the New Testament. But the meat of it, the focus of it, the end result of it is still Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And if we start wanting more than that, if we start looking for more than that, or expecting more than that, or we want to get our ears scratched or our ears tickled. Part of Jesus and part of the message of Christ crucified is the message that the sinner is depraved and no good, and there's not anything that's going to scratch your ears in that doctrine. You take a little dog and scratch his ears, he'll keep coming back to get his ears scratched. You quit scratching his ears, though, he's not coming. He's not going to come. Might even bite you. But I'll tell you, God's little children, what feeds their heart and what feeds their soul is the truth of the gospel. It's not just scratching an itching ear. It's feeding a hungry heart and a hungry soul. I need food, don't you? I need food. If I go to church and I don't hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I don't get food. I need food. I need feeding. I need to hear grace. I need to hear duty, yes, but keep it in the constraints of grace. Make sure that I understand that without grace, I can't do any duty. Without grace, I can't do a labor. Without grace, I can't do anything. Grace is the source of all our blessings. Jesus Christ is the one who supplies every spiritual blessing. They're all in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I can't do a one single good thing outside of His grace. I need Him. And that's true for you as well. And that's what He said to them. Grace be unto you. That's the message tonight. He's praying, Lord, grant them grace. Now, some might get the idea when they read that means He wanted them to get grace that hadn't been given to them. No, these have already been recipients of grace. When He's talking to a church, right? He's talking to those that are born again. He's talking to those that were chosen before the foundation of the world. He's talking to God, the people that Jesus died for. He's talking to ones who've already received grace. But He's praying for those who received grace that they might have more grace. Doesn't that sound good tonight, that we ought to be praying for one another? God, be gracious to my little sister. God, be gracious to my brother. God, be gracious to us as we're walking in this world and hit with the trials of life. Lord, may Thy grace be with us so that in the storm I might have peace. I know there's been some storms I haven't had the peace that I ought to have. They read that scripture today. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We don't want to go so far with that that we said that's an absolute, that we will rejoice and be glad in it, that God absolutely will. That's going to happen, because I'll tell you, there are some days you and I don't rejoice. How about you? There are some days we don't rejoice and we're not glad. As a matter of fact, we like the two on the road to Emmaus. They walked along and were sad. Jesus rebuked them for being sad. I can't tell you that I'm always glad. I can't tell you. I know this. I ought to be. I also know this. With my mouth, that ought to be my confession, right? With the heart, man believes unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made. Somebody might say that's how you get saved, in the sense of being brought from death to life. No, that's the confession of a living little child of God, because his heart has to be changed before it'll ever believe. And his mouth has to be touched before he'll ever praise God. It's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's the born again little child of God's heart. And in your heart tonight, I want you, grace be unto you, I want you to believe tonight. I want you to believe he's a resurrected Savior and he died for you. I want you to believe that he's coming again for you. I want you to believe of what he has taught us in his word, because the word of God says it's done and it's finished, that there's nothing you can add to that, nor anything you can do to mess it up. So that tonight you might have the grace that gives you peace, because otherwise you're not having peace tonight. A lot of God's little children who are recipients of his grace don't have peace because they're not resting in his grace. They're resting in something they have done. There's a whole world full of God's little children out there like that, that I believe can hear. I believe God gave them in the new birth an ear to hear. I believe they have a heart that's been taught of God. Their head might be mixed up, but their heart has been taught of God. And the purpose of the gospel, and the purpose of the gospel minister, and the purpose of Apostle Paul, and the purpose of every preacher who's ever preached, is to share with them the truth of what Jesus has done. We don't do them any benefit to go along with a false doctrine in order for them not to be upset with us. We don't even do them for a little benefit to hold back some things that we know might upset them. I say to you, we share with them the gospel of the amazing love of Almighty God and what He's done for His people. And we tell them in love that they're rotten and no good. And if they are left to themselves, they would receive the wrath they rightly deserve. We'll be faithful, like that preacher I read about online and shared with you later, when he was talking to this guy about how bad off, the guy was telling him how bad off he was and how he thought the Lord just couldn't save anybody as bad and as rotten as he was. And the preacher looked at him and said, well, you're bad and rotten. That's true. He said, as a matter of fact, you're so bad and rotten, you don't even know how bad and rotten you are. You know why you say that? Because it's the truth. But that's all. So, well, why is that important to tell God's children? So that they will not trust in themselves for one single bit of all that which only God can do. Because once you see how empty you are, you know that unless somebody fills me, I'll have nothing. Unless you see how rotten and no good you are, you will never understand. I'd never get to heaven unless someone gives me righteousness. Like Brother Terry tonight, if we try to wear our own apparel, we got on filthy rags, don't we? And that's not the worst of us. That's the best of us. He says our righteousnesses are but as filthy rags. Imagine what the other part of us might be. That which we would consider righteous before God. If it isn't in faith, and if it isn't in love, it's If without charity, it's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And without faith, whatsoever is not of faith, Paul says in the book of Romans, it's what? Whatever is not of faith is sin. So the only thing you and I can do tonight other than sin is to believe and trust in the Lord. And the way we can do that is by the grace He's given us and the faith He's allowed us to have. And then we operate in that faith which worketh by love. Where does the love come from? We can't love Him until He first loved us. Isn't that simple? Doesn't that seem plain? I believe there's God's little children out there in the world that are not among us, that aren't named Old Baptists, that can hear that and understand that. I think there are many times we're way too quiet. We need to share that with God's children. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul shared it with people that persecuted him, and this early church was going through persecution because they believed it. They were idol worshipers when he came to preach to them. They were many of them were Gentiles worshiping, bound down to idols. The Apostle Paul came and preached Jesus to them. He didn't say, "Well, I don't think they're going to believe it. I don't think they'll have it. I'm telling you, God gave them an ear and an eye and a heart to see it and to understand it." And yes, there's just a small little band and group of us today. And if we have two or three, we are blessed. Amen. We have two or three. But our desire in our hearts is, and our desire in our hearts and our prayer to God for Israel, that is the children of God, is that they might be saved. What does that mean? That they might be delivered. How? By the gospel. I don't believe one of God's little children is going to miss heaven. I know the world believes that, but they can believe what... I'm not going to say it that way. Sometimes I'll say it. I shouldn't say it that way. I do care that they don't believe that, because it dishonors God. Listen, the Lord loved His people with an everlasting, eternal love, and He'll have all of them in heaven with Him. And my desire is that all of them stop trying to work out their own righteousness and submit themselves unto the righteousness of God, and they take up their cross and they follow Him, and they believe these truths and they preach these truths and they tell it to one another, they tell it to their children, they tell it to their family, and their little homes will be a shining light, and their meals will be a lot. The food, like Brother Hank Lewis used to say, it'll make your vegetable soup taste better. I mean, it does. It does. I'm telling you, when you feel the grace and the mercy of Almighty God, everything in your life gets better. And when you forget about that and start just living for the world and the things of the world, He can make you vegetable soup that doesn't taste too good. Brother Hank, remember, had that both ways. He was talking about his obedience in coming and his disobedience. And he said, it can mess up whatever you think might be more valuable and more important. We can miss so many blessings. He said, "Grace be unto you and peace." From who? From God our Father. That's where it comes from. And the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through Jesus. So what do you and I have to boast in tonight? Absolutely nothing. Except the Lord. We have only the Lord to boast in. He said, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers." I hope that's the attitude of every member of this church regarding every other member of this church. That we're praying for one another. And not only here, but at the churches around us. And not only there, but the churches all over. When you see the kingdom, it's not just little Happy Creek Church and this little church. It's made up of all of the Lord's people wherever they're worshiping God in spirit and in truth. And if you miss that part of the kingdom, you miss a whole lot of the beauty of what the Lord's given us to see in this world. And He says, "We give thanks to God always." That means all the time. "And for all of you, for you all." And He's making mention of you in our prayers. I believe in His prayers, He mentioned the church at Thessalonica. And I believe He mentioned the church at Philippi. And I believe He mentioned the brethren. And He had a concern for the brethren. And I believe He had a concern for God's people wherever they were. Not that they would get to heaven, but that they might know and understand the truth, and that they might be about their Father's business in praising and worshiping God. He goes on and he says, I'm remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope. Here we see faith, we see love, we see patience, and we see hope. All of these are the gifts of God. And he says, I see these identifying marks. They're identifying marks in the children of God. And what does it identify them? He says, I remember those. And the hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's all done in the sight of God and our Father. Like I said today, he's looking right at us. He's not from a distance. He's watching. He's right here with us. He said, he stands at the door and knock, and if any man will open the door, he'll come in and sup with him, and he would. That sounds kind of personal, doesn't it? That's with me right on the bench, right where I am. You can be in a meeting, and I say, Lord, please allow me this sweet fellowship with thee, that I can have fellowship with my brethren, but truly my fellowship is with thee, the Father, and with the Son, and with the Holy Ghost, and there's nothing that can replace that. And he says, knowing, verse 4, knowing brethren, beloved, that means the beloved of God, those who are loved of God, your election of God. He could see that God loved them because of the love they were that caused them to labor. He could see that God loved them because of the faith that caused them to do work. He could see that God loved them because of the hope that they had and the patience that they were trusting and waiting in the Lord. When I see in a little child of God in the midst of trouble and problems that and they turn it over to the Lord and say, the Lord's will be done, and I'm going to lean on Him and depend upon Him, I'm seeing evidence of their election. When I see them believing in the Lord, I'm seeing evidence of their election. When I see them loving the Lord, I'm seeing evidence that He first loved them. The only reason one can love Him is because He first loved them. The only reason one can believe in Him is because He gives them faith. And that came because He gave them life. The only reason one has a hope in the Lord is because Christ Jesus is in them, the hope of glory. That makes sense. Thank the Lord. He says, for our gospel. Didn't get to this verse today. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. Paul called it his gospel. Why was it his gospel? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Paul said it was his gospel. Why? Because it was committed unto him. In other words, the Lord called him to preach the gospel. He didn't choose to do that on his own. It became his gospel. The Lord gave it to him to preach to others. In other words, I'm going to give you what God gave me. I'm what I've received of the Lord. And that's what a minister has to do. He goes to the Lord, and what the Lord gives him is what he's to give you. He's not. He doesn't sit down and decide what do they need this week or what. I mean, we may do that, but I'm telling you, it's gonna hurt the preaching and it's gonna hurt the receiving if we're not praying. God, give us the message. The Lord is the one who has the. I can't give that which hasn't been given to me. But what's been given to me, it's been committed unto me, it's mine, that I am to give it to you. I've been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? That means you tell those that have been reconciled to God that they've been reconciled to God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. I tell those that God, who God died for, that God died for them, and Jesus died for them, and He paid the sin debt for them, and He's removed them. The wrath that was poured out upon, would have been poured out upon them, has been poured out upon Him, and what He deserved, He's given to you, and what you deserve, He bore in your room instead. And that is the. That is the gospel that the Apostle Paul called our gospel. He didn't say it was just my gospel, even though in one place he does say that. He says our gospel being the gospel of Paul, Silvanus, Timotheus, the faith once delivered to the saints. And he said that gospel though came not unto you in word only. In other words, it just wasn't sitting there hearing a speech and he convinced them of it. No, the Lord moved. Isn't it wonderful when you see the Lord move? It's the Lord who moves you. Sometimes you might feel like it's a preacher. But if the preacher moves you, it's because the Lord moved you. If the preacher does any benefit, it's because the Lord was in the matter. That's why we don't give the preacher the praise. We give the Lord the praise because it's the Lord who blessed the preacher to preach. And it's the Lord who blessed you to hear. And therefore, these people heard, not just in word, they didn't just hear His speech, but also in power. They felt the power of God. Isn't it good to feel the power of God in a meeting? I'll tell you, without the power of God, it's a cold, dry, dull meeting. And it's vain. It's empty. But the power is there. The power, there's power in the gospel. There's power in the Holy Spirit. And he says, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. In other words, when I heard it, I knew it was the truth. And can you say that? You know, it's almost like the Lord put it in my heart. So when I heard it, I knew it was the truth. We're to try it by the word of God. But we already hear it. We hear it. And you can just, I know that's the truth. It's in my, he wrote it on my heart. And then I searched the scriptures to be sure that it's so. Because you see, there's an old adversary that would like to come and convince us of something being so that's not so. How do we tell what's truth and what's not? We try it by the word of God. We don't try it by our dreams. We don't try it by whatever else might be going on. The old devil works in all those avenues. We don't even try it by our natural feelings. We try it by your natural feelings. The gospel might offend you. But I'm telling you, in the Spirit, you'll know that's the truth. And he says, in much assurance. In other words, the gospel came to them in a different way than it just falls out, just preaching it anywhere. The word falls on good ground. And the good ground brings forth fruit. Some, not all the same amount. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. But it found a lodging place in the hearts of the Lord's people. We ought to be praying for every meeting. Lord, bless the word that it might find a lodging place in the ears of thy little children. And he says, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. In other words, I came before you preaching in such a way that it was in weakness and fear and much trembling, so that you wouldn't trust in me and how much I know, but you trust in the Lord and what he has done. That your faith might stand in the power of God, not in the wisdom of man. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how the Apostle Paul came before them. And Paul was a learned man. If anybody could have used the world's wisdom to teach, Paul could have. He was a Jew. He was a Pharisee. He was learned in the scripture. Could have used all kinds of methodologies. But rather than that, he came trusting in Jesus Christ and him crucified, and even came preaching in such a way that their faith would not stand in him, but their faith would stand in the power of God. May that be the way we come before you every time. And he says, verse 6, and ye became followers of us. Now they followed, somebody said, well, did they follow Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus? Is it wrong to follow a preacher? No, not as long as he's following Christ. When does it become wrong to follow a minister of the gospel? When he ceases to follow the Lord. And that doesn't matter how close you might be to him or who he might be. You follow the minister that stands before you only as far as he follows the Lord. But as he follows the Lord, you become a follower of him as he follows the Lord. How do you know that he's following the Lord? You have to search the scriptures yourself to see that these things are so. And beg God to lead you and guide you. And he will. If we ask, he will guide us. And he says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Notice the two were so, they were the same. If he's following, if their ministers following the Lord, when you follow them, you're following the Lord, you're a follower of the Lord, and you receive the word, they receive the word in much affliction. In other words, it costs them a lot to receive the word. It costs us today to receive the word when we receive the word. There are some things we give up. You give up some things to be an old Baptist. You give up some things to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what you give up, you can't keep anyway. Brother Paul Troutner used to say that. He said, why would you hold on to what you can't keep to miss what you can't lose? And he said it a lot better than that, but I'll never forget his words. What he was saying is the little you have to give up in order to take up your cross and follow your Lord in baptism, you receive 1,000 times more. Many times over more in the blessings of the Lord and walk in obedience to the truth. You'll receive homes and families and blessings innumerable. I know this. There have been some things that I wished I'd have give up earlier. And some things that but there's not anything that I've given up that I'd say, well, I wish I had that back. Because I'll tell you what I've received in the kingdom of heaven. Like I said earlier, the Lord's been so good to me. I just want to praise his name. And again, all that's by grace. He says, so that you were in samples. He said, you became followers. How much did they follow? They were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In other words, they became those that others looked at and said, oh, look at that faithful little band of believers. And why? For you, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only out of their mouth, but out of their walk. They lived what they believed. That's where the light of a church really shines. When the church lives what it believes. It's not what we say just within the doors of the church. It's how we live outside, how we conduct ourselves outside. We let our light so shine before men. He says, and this word sounded from you. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad. In other words, there was a reputation. They had a reputation of being believers. Probably some because they were persecuted because of it. Some they suffered because of it. But they were willing to suffer for His name's sake. We haven't had so much of that in our lifetime, but it may be coming. And we need to be prepared for that. If that's the case, I hope and pray we'll be faithful. That we'll stand firm and confess our Lord and Savior. Even if it means our very life is taken. It'd be better to wake up in His presence after being under that than to yield to that and then walk away with a broken heart and a sad countenance of not naming the name of Christ when brought into that temptation. He says, so that we need not to speak anything. Verse 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. In other words, what the response that was there and how they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And they came out of idol worship to serve. And listen, he's just not a God. He is the living God. And He's the true God, which means there are a lot of gods that aren't living and there's a lot of gods that aren't true. There are many gods in this world, but there's only one living and true God, and that's a God of the Old Testament, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of the New Testament, the God of the apostles. And I believe the God that this little church has served from the time it was planted by the Lord in God the Father and in His Son, Jesus Christ. And He says, and to wait. That is what we're doing. Are we waiting tonight? I hope we're waiting. We're waiting for who? For His Son. From heaven. Where is He coming from? From heaven. I heard today, heaven's up. He's coming. He who ascended is going to descend. He's coming again. And this is the one whom He raised, the Father raised from the dead. Who? He has a name. Who is this one? He's even Jesus, which means Savior. Which this is why, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Jesus delivered us. And notice the word. It didn't say maybe He can deliver you. It says He delivered us. That sounds like it's done, doesn't it? That's finished. He delivered us from the wrath to come. There is a wrath that's going to fall on this world. And if it had not been for Jesus, it would have fell on us, and rightly so. Because we were the children of wrath, even as others. But He did not choose us to obtain wrath. He chose us to be delivered from that. Isn't that good that He chose us from that? He chose us. I got a text that's come to my mind, if I can find it. Verse 10 of Chapter 5, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.